B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, October 28th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check out Outer Worlds and Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Plus, we're going to run through a preview of BlizzCon. Those conversations ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today talking about Saturday Night Live. Chance the Rapper was the host on the most recent episode of Saturday Night Live. And during the program, they actually did a skit about League of Legends.
About esports in general,
I feel like. Yeah.
I mean, League was the catalyst, but yeah.
Is sort of the guinea pig there. But I have to say, I really enjoyed this segment. I got a text from my parents Saturday night at a little bit like 12:30. It was about
a little
when,
late.
Yeah. And I'm like, wow, this is a little bit later than I'm used to hearing from my mother.
Yeah, almost the same thing, actually. I got a late text from my mom as she was watching it. And when I get a text at that hour, it's always like, oh, God, who died?
Right.
It's usually one of those kinds of text messages at that hour. And she's like, oh, on Saturday Night Live, they're talking about esports. You're probably going to hate it, but we think it's pretty funny. And I'm like, what do you mean you think I'm going to hate it?
Listen, I have to give SNL some credit here. This was a mostly well-researched segment. I liked this. This was really funny.
Yeah.
So it featured Chance the Rapper as an unlikely esports reporter.
Our regular esports reporter Jake Sussman is out today taking the PSATs.
Good luck, Jake.
Yeah. Filling in for him is Laszlo Holmes, who usually covers the Knicks for us here at MSG. How you feeling down there, Laz?
Confused. To be honest, when they asked me to cover the League of Legends tournament, I assumed it was a basketball game with NBA legends. This is not that. It is a computer game contest.
So Chance is, like, I think he's doing a remarkably good job channeling a little bit of Mitch Hedberg here.
Yeah.
His delivery is very stilted. But still, you can tell that this was written by someone who fundamentally understands esports.
Yeah. You know, where my appreciation for this actually ended up coming is looking into it. This is actually the second time Chance has hosted SNL. And the second time he's played this character, Laszlo Holmes.
Really?
Before he was, again, same guy, you know, supposed to be covering the Knicks, but instead it was filling in for someone in the NHL at a hockey game. And it honestly played out the exact same way, right down to having the guy turn around because he couldn't pronounce or didn't want to say his name. You know, because in hockey, they're all consonants, no vowels or anything.
Yeah, they're all Russian last names. Yeah.
To see that they treated esports in the exact same way that they treated hockey, it made it feel like they're sort of been elevated to the same sort of level.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that is an accurate reading of it as well. You might say that they kind of recycled a little bit of material.
For sure. But I mean, they do that. They establish characters, and it's cool to see somebody who's a guest host to have an established character.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, though.
Outside of, like, Tom Hanks being David S. Pumpkins every Halloween. Yeah. We have to see that every year.
Absolutely.
But, no, I agree. I think one of the fun things about this segment is it's a lot of inside jokes that people who follow esports will definitely understand. Like, it's easy enough to understand on its face for everyone, but people who follow esports, when I was covering Rocket League one year, we had someone there from, I think it was a Fox affiliate or ESPN, I can't remember who it was, who clearly was covering their first esports event. And I gotta tell you, it sounded a lot like Laszlo.
Oh,
like, I don't know about that.
We've experienced the Overwatch League as well.
Mm-hmm. So there was an amazing joke, and one I've seen a little bit of discussion about this online, but I thought that this was fantastic right here.
Hey, Laz, walk us through that last match.
Thanks.
No thanks. I'm just playing. In a nutshell, there are 10 nerdy dudes sitting down at computers with headsets on while 20,000 people scream like they were watching the Beatles. I did not know this was a thing. I guess esports is what white and Asian kids have been doing while black kids were inventing hip-hop.
Wish he hadn't stepped on that punchline, because that was a great punch.
I think it makes it funnier.
Oh, absolutely.
But I too have seen some of the backlash about it, and I get it, because there's the conflation that black kids weren't playing computer games when they were young.
That's mostly the pushback that I've seen. Yeah. It's like, hey man, I grew up playing this too.
Yeah, and that was the big thing. I think people take it in good stride, but they also said like, yo, but like, I love hip hop. I make hip hop, but I am also a nerd. So that was, I don't think it was as big of an issue as people were making it out to be. But yeah, I got that energy. I understood.
All right. We got one more clip here from the Saturday Night Live skit. This was actually my favorite bit out of all of them, where they actually had the game on screen and trying to get a chance to comment on the game.
Well, here's the moment everyone is talking about. Laz, what do you make of this?
Well, to me, this game looks like how a seizure feels. But I think if you know what's happening in this clip, you need to get out of the house more. No, I'm just kidding. That's me keeping it light. But in terms of what's happening in this clip, I don't know.
So that is some right from Mitch Hedberg delivery, yeah, right there. I love it.
I want to comment on that a little bit, because a couple things going on here. First of all, I want to appreciate Riot, who I will never be convinced didn't send them just basically a track of all their different sound bites, because that mess was just random League of Legends sound effects being thrown in. I love that. But also, that is a real criticism that people have of esports being utilized here. That's not something like they made up. It's like, oh my God, it's a video game and I can't follow it. No, MOBA games and things like Overwatch and League of Legends and Dota 2, those games all suffer from, if you don't play it a lot, it can be hard to understand what's going on. It can be chaos just to watch on the map.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently talking about Saturday Night Live's esports skit that they did with Chance the Rapper very recently. And the reason I wanted to talk about this is because, you know, we've heard the news that CBS and NBC are both developing shows about esports.
Yeah.
And so I kind of have to, you know, here is one of the most, well-known, well-respected comedy pieces on NBC coming in and doing content about esports that us inside the world of esports are not bristling at.
For the second time, by the way. This is their second esports thing they've done, and the first one was good, too.
What was the first?
Boo Boo Jeffries.
Boo Jeffries!
Jeffries! Yeah. Oh, I love that.
At the fighting game tournament.
One of the best skits. You have to look this up if you're listening at home. The Boo Boo Jeffries skit is awesome. So yeah, this is now twice that SNL was able to get it right. And I'm kind of curious, do you think that this bodes well for, you know, these potential sitcoms that are coming to NBC and CBS?
So here's the thing. I know you guys were super negative about the announcement of a lot of these sitcoms, but
very skeptical.
It's clear that they are not afraid, or in the writers' rooms are some of these people who consume esports, or at the very least are gamers. And I think it is a little bit sort of short-sighted not to acknowledge, if this is something Gen Z and millennials are doing, if you got Gen Z and millennials in the writer's room, then naturally a lot of this stuff will just come out.
You know, and we talked about last week the piece that Axios did, HBO's Axios did, about esports. And, you know, I have to say that I didn't get much of the aquarium effect here. I very much got the same feel that you did, that there was someone in the writer's room that fundamentally understood esports enough to be able to make this work even for an esports fan. And I think that's the kind of
special, specific touch that, you know, shows on NBC or CBS are going to need to try to strike towards.
Well, and what really worked for me here, you know, as we're listening to it, we all said it multiple times, like, that's a fair criticism. That's true. That's how it actually goes. And I think what really makes it work is not making jokes at the expense of the game itself, but you put people in these situations, and it's how they react to them. Because specifically, where my last work coming in at here was at the expense of Chance the Rapper's character. So again, for me, it's all about the human element and not necessarily trying to turn the industry itself or the scene itself into the joke.
Well, yeah. That's what I was worried about with this, is that we were going to get, like you say, that kind of fishbowl aquarium effect. And the irony of it is they were literally trying to play that fishbowl effect up.
The joke was that
old, out of touch people don't know what's going on in the space, and it works.
You can't accurately pull that joke off unless you have somebody writing from the inside, unless you have somebody that understands what they're writing about to a fundamental level to make the bits that are supposed to be authentic come off as authentic.
Exactly. Like for my parents to send me a message and say, we thought this was very funny. I have no doubt that they thought it was very funny for completely different reasons than I did.
Absolutely.
But on some level, they're kind of laughing at their own ignorance.
But isn't that the best type of humor, where you can hit multiple demographics with different jokes? You know what I mean? Like, I think that this really does move the ball forward in terms of esports being recognized in the mainstream and by people who wouldn't normally pay esports any mind. I think that this bodes very well.
And it gives me a willingness to give NBC and CBS a shot on a sitcom. I'm willing to embrace that. Okay, you know what? Maybe.
I'll give you this. I am a lot more willing today after seeing that SNL bit than I was before I saw the SNL bit.
Exactly.
Listen, we want to hear from you. Did you watch Saturday Night Live? What did you think of Chance the Rapper on this skit? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to preview BlizzCon. I don't know why.
BlizzCon?
BlizzCon.
Nate forgot how bees work.
I almost said BlitzCon, and I'm not sure why.
Because of BlitzChung.
Maybe I don't know what it is. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we've got to talk about the big new releases that came out just over the weekend. We have all been playing Outer Worlds and Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
A lot of big gaming releases came out last week. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling in the WWE, and Talk and Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, then go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. Like I said, a lot of big games coming out last week, including Call of Duty Modern Warfare. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But The Outer Worlds was a game that sucked many, many of our own personal hours down the tubes over the weekend. And I thought we should actually talk about this game because I have to say, I'm really impressed by it. I'm very impressed.
impressed. And you know, for being such a Fallout fan and hearing so many direct comparisons to Fallout, I can't think of a game less apt to compare it to. Right?
Like, yeah, it really, as much as like,
it is Fallout. Don't get, I mean, it's Fallout ish.
But when you look at it on its face, it's. Let's just say it's Firefly.
I mean,
it's Firefly.
It's Firefly.
It's Firefly,
mixed,
the game.
Mixed with a little bit of BioShock.
So it does enough to set itself apart from Fallout because they use a lot of the same gameplay design. So I see where it is. But yeah. It's Fallout in the same way that you would say PUBG is H1Z1, right?
And it's
they're
worth
both
noting
Battle
that,
Royales, but they're different enough.
Right. And it's worth noting that Obsidian did Fallout New Vegas, so it's not like they don't have any Fallout background. But, I mean, there's a lot of inspiration from Mass Effect in this game. There's a lot of inspiration
there's
from things like Morrowind.
See, this is where I think I draw the biggest comparison, is there's a lot more of a concerted effort towards the role-playing aspect of this game than I think in the other Fallout games, and there's less of a direction on exploration. I found that playing this game, I tend to start to get disinterested if I go out and just try to explore all over the place instead of just staying focused on the story and the quests.
Well, that's the thing too, is enemies stay dead in this game. They don't really respawn with any real frequency. So
you don't really have a very compelling reason to go back on you know, a place that you've already been.
Right, and that's also a way that they found of making fast travel feel a little bit more acceptable. I'm fine with fast traveling places because I know I'm not going to miss anything that
in
I would
between.
Have normally seen. So as I sit here playing this game, and you're right, like games like Fallout and Mass Effect and a lot of inspiration, but it does, I feel like, do something all on its own too. It has a weird kind of humorous vibe to it that I'm not used to seeing in other games. It's poking fun at, well, today, to be frank.
Well, yeah, and not just that, but I think that is very rooted in Fallout, right? You know, Fallout, before Bethesda got, you know, their hands on it, made it very grim, dark, and serious. You know, the Fallout 1 and 2 were very lighthearted. And in fact, New Vegas really brought that vibe back to the Fallout series. So I'm not surprised at all that same sort of irreverence carries over to something like The Lost Worlds.
Outer Worlds.
Or, I'm sorry, the Outer Worlds.
There are no dinosaurs.
Raptodons are pretty close.
I guess, yeah, they're almost dinosaurs.
So one of the things, though, that really, you know, got my attention about this game was, you know, obviously its development lineage. That's a huge part of it. But just the way that, you know, the story is delivered. There is a lot, and I mean a lot, of dialogue in this game. They must have... I swear to God, they must have, employed half of the voice actors that are alive to be able to get this much dialogue into the game. And it's impressive if for no other reason than, you know, you are really being delivered a fully fleshed out story. It's a very impressive undertaking.
And Robbie, when you came in today, one of the things that you mentioned to me is that playing this game felt more like playing Dungeons and Dragons to you.
Mm-hmm.
And until you said it, it
hadn't even occurred to you.
Yeah, it hadn't clicked in my head, but you're absolutely right. As I'm playing through this game, it definitely feels like, right down to some of the ridiculous explanations you get for various things.
Well, and how, like, much you're pouring, how much you're pouring into, you know, different skills and different aptitudes. And Nate, to your point, all the story and the lore. I mean, if you've ever actually sat down and watched or played a game of Dungeons and Dragons, a lot of it outside of the combat is just you and the players, or, you know, the DM going back and forth, asking questions, giving lore, asking questions, giving more exposition. It's constantly story, story, story.
So I've got a question. You guys are obviously way farther in the game than I am. How much time have you plugged in to the Outer Worlds?
27 hours.
Wow.
I picked it up on Saturday and also have plugged in 27 hours.
Wow. So yeah. at about 27 hours, how far in the game do you feel like you've progressed? Are you sort of nearing the end, nearing the conclusion?
No idea.
You have no, well, that's kind of good because you're kind of lost it.
Yeah.
Right. I haven't gotten to that point where it feels like, oh, we're definitely ramping up towards the conclusion. I haven't gotten, usually games like this have that kind of feel like, oh, we're setting in on the path towards the end. I feel like we're probably, I'm probably like 60% of the way through the game. I feel like I'm kind of in that area.
Yep, I'd probably guess somewhere around halfway, which is interesting because I feel like most people were saying that it's a 30 to 40 hour game, and I've put about 30 hours into it.
Yeah, that's really interesting because if it wraps up in a real big hurry, that's going to be kind of disappointing and concerning. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently talking about some of the big releases that came out last week. We were just talking about The Outer Worlds, which is available for PC, Xbox, and PlayStation 4. But let's turn our attention over to Modern Warfare, the other big release that came out last week. So, Norris, you were you decided to be the outlier among us and be the one to check out Modern Warfare. How did they do on this installment of the franchise?
I definitely think they did a really good job. It's refreshing. It feels like a return to form for the series, to be perfectly honest.
Because where they lost me was like when they started introducing super jumps.
When it became Titanfall.
Yeah, when it became like Titanfall mixed with Halo.
Yeah.
And I was very confused because that was not the game that I had, that I remembered.
It's back to being the rooted, chaotic ridiculousness that, you know, Call of Duty is supposed to be. You're supposed to not be able to move very much in your play, your Twitch movement and your gunplay is supposed to be what makes you good at something like Call of Duty, not necessarily your movement and spatial awareness. So it's a return to that gameplay style. I was able to finish the campaign. It took me 2 days, which is crazy for a Call of Duty campaign.
2 days, but how many hours roughly would you
guess? I'd say 10 hours.
Roughly 10 hours?
I'd say 10
hours.
That's
not bad. That's about average.
That's about a Call of Duty campaign.
That's about a Call of Duty campaign, but it was pretty good. And I mean, to reboot the series and sort of try something new, I thought it worked out pretty well.
So it disavows all events before it, or it's a completely
fresh story?
Yeah, it's
a full reboot. It's a full reboot. It has some elements that are woven in together. There are certain characters that share names, but are
different.
Like
we've seen Captain Price.
Yeah, but this Captain Price is not the Captain Price that we know from the traditional Modern Warfare.
Interesting.
Looks like the same guy, but there's different experiences. If you beat it, there is a callback, but you could tell that it will be different moving forward. So it is a hard reboot.
Interesting. Friend of the show in the chat room over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp, DJ Speedy Jr., one of the hosts for Geek Culture Congress on the B-Pod Studios Network, is saying that the campaign is the best. I mean, did the campaign for this Modern Warfare stand out versus other campaigns? Was there a star for this one? Because we've seen in other ones, Kit Harington was,
no.
You know, the face of it.
No.
Okay,
and I think that's to its benefit.
Good.
There aren't necessarily the big moments. Like, I still think Modern Warfare 1 is they can't overdo that. They can't
the
do
nuke.
Better than that. That was so good.
Yeah.
And it was so engaging. That I'm not sure they could get better than that.
It was shocking, too.
But there are some points that I'm just like, that was real
so,
good.
But there's nothing that gets to the point of, like, no Russian. Without spoiling it. Okay, close. All right, I like that. I do like that.
Close.
So we got to talk about multiplayer here for a second.
This is one of the major criticisms that I have heard of the game is the maps in the multiplayer.
They're not great. It is the weakest part of the multiplayer.
Some
of the maps are maps that are either way too small or way too large.
Mm.
And after you break them down, you really could just put them into like three columns. They're literally just left column, middle column, right column. Mm. And the problem is that there's so much stuff in it, so much stuff in between everything that a lot of times you just get turned around and it leads for some really confusing gameplay moments.
That sucks.
There's one mode called Ground War. It's just unplayable. If you don't know how to snipe, you can't play Ground War.
Oh, wow.
So it's really difficult as of right now to figure out where the multiplayer is going. I'm still having fun, which is really all that matters,
right?
But the design is not up to where some of the other maps were in the previous.
Why don't they just convert a lot of the old school Modern Warfare maps into, you know, just up-res them and throw them into the new engine?
To me, if you took the maps from Modern Warfare 1 and 2 and just put those out, I think you got probably the best Call of Duty ever made.
They were well received when they did that Modern Warfare reboot with the last edition of Black Ops.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why they wouldn't just they have all the assets.
Yeah.
The assets are made.
Yeah, I don't
Come
know.
Come on, Activision.
I don't know, but the game is really good, and I'm happy to see it back in the form that it is.
All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. What new gaming releases were you playing? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, BlizzCon is coming up, so we've got to do our BlizzCon preview. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's that special time of year. No, I'm not talking about Halloween or Thanksgiving. No, I'm not even talking about Christmas. We are nearly upon BlizzCon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 92.5 FM Fox News in Jacksonville and ESPN Southwest Florida 99.3 FM. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP, The Other Identity, and Low Team Damage. Plus, we've got a brand new shirt and hoodie that's available for a limited time this fall and holiday season. Check it out over at CheckpointXP.com/shop. BlizzCon is right around the corner, and I don't know if I should be expecting exciting game announcements or if I should expecting Riot Police.
Yeah,
because it's going to be one or the other. It might be both, actually. Yeah, now that I think about it,
I think we're all kind of approaching BlizzCon this year with a little bit more trepidation than maybe in years
Are
past,
you kidding?
Or a lot more trepidation.
Excitement. I can't wait to see what
happens.
Listen,
I'll say this. We were present for, Robbie and I were present for the Diablo Immortal Don't You Guys Have Phones announcement.
The out-of-season April Fool's joke?
Yeah, and let me tell you, it was a pall cast over the entire event. People were not happy. So I can only imagine, considering all the stuff that Blizzard has been going through recently, that this may be a very, very strange BlizzCon.
Yeah, I mean, we do know that there are protests being planned for BlizzCon this year, so it's going to be a contentious environment.
I'm real curious if they're actually going to do it.
Yeah, that's the plan.
You don't get rid of me that easily.
Well, I mean, for another one of our shows, Checkpoint XP on Campus, which you can catch on Thursdays on this Twitch channel at 10 p.m., I talked to two guys who were part of the American University protest against Blizzard.
Yeah,
they've now ceased playing Hearthstone, the game that they were protesting at altogether. But they said they plan to go to BlizzCon to protest. So there are plans for people to be there specifically to protest against Blizzard.
Yeah, honestly, I think that the success of the protest is going to depend on how the general populace takes the other sort of announcements. If people get hyped off a Diablo 4 announcement or an Overwatch 2 announcement, I think that you see the headlines dominated by those because that's what people are trying to click on.
Yeah.
And you might still see a story or two about the protests, but I mean, who's going to cover that over the biggest headlining news?
And that very well could be. And I just want to remind anyone out there going, why would someone be protesting a video game company? This doesn't make any sense. Blizzard was one of the companies that sort of capitulated to China after one of their Hearthstone winners came onto the stream after winning going and, you know,
supported
the Hong Kong protests. They had originally fined him and then they rescinded the fine. The suspension was dropped down to only 6 months. And so many, you know, there have been many calls to boycott Blizzard. There have been many fans of Blizzard saying that, you know, they want to protest the upcoming BlizzCon. But I think that, you know, that's an interesting thought, that if Blizzard comes out and, you know, says the right things on stage and makes the right game announcements, that the protests likely won't even matter, that much of the enthusiasm or the momentum that any protest gets is going to be almost immediately blunted by the fact that, oh, Blizzard came out and announced something cool.
See, I actually really disagree with that, because it depends on the size and the fervor of the protest. If we get to BlizzCon and there is a protest that is equal to or just about the same size as the people attending the actual conference, that's the story.
I highly doubt that that's going to happen. I mean, that's such a long shot, man. I doubt that that many people are going to be out there protesting Blizzard.
I mean, but there could be people who already have their tickets who are going, who plan to join those protests.
See, okay, could be. The real question then is going to be, is the protest happening outside or inside? And if it's inside, how does Blizzard react?
Well, if it's inside, they will be escorted out.
They'll be kicked out.
You aren't going to get to protest inside the building.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're going to forfeit your ticket and all these other different things. I have to wonder what the crackdown inside is going to look like. Are they going to disallow anyone that has a respirator mask or, you know, ski goggles or anything like that? Yeah. You're listening to Checkpoint XP, Esports, and Gaming Radio. We're currently doing our preview of BlizzCon 2018. Going to be a mighty interesting year. It also seems like, you know, some of the announcements that Blizzard may walk out on stage and make may lead to increased enthusiasm or momentum behind the protests. Because if I was there and I saw them get on stage and announce Overwatch 2, I would honestly join the protesters. Here, take my badge, take my pass. I am going to cross the picket line, and now you're the problem.
It depends on what that Overwatch 2 is, because now recent leaks and rumors have said that it's not going to be a brand new game where you're going to be asked to put, you know, $40, $50 down for it, but it'll be more akin to what we recently saw with Fortnite. Overwatch Chapter 2. New development for the game, new content that if you already have the game, you'll be getting. And honestly, that's something that people in the community have been asking for a while.
But now, I'm telling you now, if they make people pay anything for it,
I agree,
people will riot, literally. And that's the issue that I have with it. Because first of all, the whole conversation around Overwatch 2, I think, is absurd. Because if I was Blizzard, I would be out ahead of that. I would be saying, wait a minute, Overwatch 2 is like, that's, first of all, that's not happening. I'll just flat out just say it's not happening, period. Because what people hear when they hear Overwatch 2 is what Nate said. They hear a sequel. Yeah. So the branding already is wrong.
They have to call it Overwatch Chapter 2.
Yeah,
or
the branding is already wrong.
Season 2 or anything other than just Overwatch 2.
You have to get out ahead of that, because now there are some people who are going to be expecting a new game, quote unquote. And when that new game doesn't come, they're going to be disappointed. So either you're going to have people mad because it's not a sequel, or you're going to have people mad if they got to pay extra for this DLC. The only thing they got to do is it has to be free.
So, speaking of Overwatch, we also will have the Overwatch World Cup, which is a mainstay now of BlizzCon. You guys got to experience this last year.
And the big difference, too, is it's all happening at BlizzCon. We didn't have the stages leading up to it this time. So, it'll be interesting to see how all that ends up playing
out.
Much
better way to do it, too.
So, I mean, are you guys even excited for the World Cup?
Oh,
is this on your radar?
Totally.
Yeah?
Totally.
What is the World Cup good for sussing out for the main season?
I'm going to tell you why. The World Cup is exciting because it's almost like a preview to who's going to be some of the hot players for the next season.
All right.
So a player like Gushue, main tank for the Hangzhou Spark, he really had his sort of, you know, arrival on the international stage at the Overwatch World Cup. So it's a really great way for, if you're not into Overwatch right now or not familiar with some of the names, the Overwatch World Cup is a really great way to get familiar with some of the big talents.
It's interesting because I almost feel like talent is scouted out of World Cup more than it is even contenders, which I don't know if that's even fair.
You're not wrong.
But that's just how I feel. And then the last point here is that we'll probably end up getting a new WoW expansion.
At least the title card. It's been
long enough since the last WoW expansion. Robbie, as our resident WoW player, any expectations here?
I think we'll probably get at least a title card, probably a cinematic to go along with it. But again, I mean, just last year was when Battle for Azeroth launched, so I wouldn't be expecting a whole lot out of it.
I mean, but anything in terms of a theme or where you would be going?
More Pandera.
No, it's going
to
be
back to Pandera.
It's going
to
be centered around the void and the afterlife.
That's right. That's what's going to be centered around. That's right.
Interesting. All right. Well, we want to hear from you. What are you excited for going into BlizzCon? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _ XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird at Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Brand management by Chad Callahan. And of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.